I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. Because of my podcasts, my treasure articles, and my book on metal detecting, I'm often asked questions by treasure hunters. And with newbie treasure hunters, I hear many of the same questions over and over. Now, I've covered these things in earlier shows, but most people don't go back to the earlier shows, so I thought I'd do a show or two that point you to some information you'll find invaluable. First, grab a pen and paper, because you'll want to jot down some show numbers. Okay. By far, the question I hear the most, as you would probably guess, is, which detector should I buy? It sounds like a simple question, but really, it's like asking, which state should I live in? Or, what car should I drive? Or, who should I marry? For all these questions, the answers are different for everyone. A skin diver won't buy the same detector as a gold prospector, and a relic hunter won't buy the same detector as a beach hunter. There are different machines for different uses. Should you start with a lower-priced detector, or should you get the best you can afford right away? Again, there's no one answer. I hate to say it, but many people tire of the hobby quickly if they don't make a super find right away. And if there's a chance of that happening to you, do you want a $200 detector or a $1,000 detector hanging in the back corner of your garage? And even if you know for a fact you're in this hobby for the long term, you might well develop a special interest along the way that requires a specialized detector. Most people stick with coins and occasional rings, but others branch out into buried caches, or relics, or gold nuggets, or beach hunting, or shallow water hunting, or who knows what else. And each of these specialties can be better done with a specialty detector. My advice is to start with a lower-priced machine, then move up to a more expensive detector after you have a better idea of what you really want to do in this hobby. By starting with a lower-priced machine, you'll have a backup unit or a detector to loan to a buddy after you buy a more expensive one yourself later. And if you get some experience under your belt before you move up the detector ladder, you'll make a better choice on your higher-priced machine. My podcasts number 58 and 59 cover these topics, with a side-by-side comparison of some excellent general-purpose beginner units. What should I know before I go out with my detector? Show 41 has a lot of general tips for beginners. Where should I go to hunt? This one's easy. Start in your own yard, even if there's nothing there. Learn to dig and cover your holes on your own property before you venture into parks and schoolyards and other people's lawns. Listen to shows 8 and 49 for tips on hunting yards. How do I dig without leaving a hole? Watch my video in show 65. Another common question, how do I get permission to hunt? Answer, ask. Not by phone, not by email, not by letter. Go see the person who can give you the okay. My shows 2 and 46 cover this question in depth. Where do I hunt on school grounds? Show 54. What about sports fields? Show 11. What about parks? Shows 6 and 48. What if a policeman approaches me? Uh-oh! Shows 38 and 39 cover this situation. How can I get more depth from my detector? Follow the tips in shows 4, 12, and 47. Each of these shows run 3 to 5 minutes, so you can listen to a bunch of them all at once. Your choice. Waste a half hour tonight watching some dumb TV sitcom, or listen to 7 or 8 of my treasure podcasts that will make you sharper, smarter, and richer. Hey, pretty much a no-brainer, isn't it? Well, thanks for listening, and for a look at my book and some free articles on metal detecting and treasure hunting, visit my website, treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.